Becky.
We're back.
How you doing?
Hope everyone is well. It's a long weekend. It's a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. Even though there's really not much to celebrate in this country at the moment.
It's a Black family holiday. It's not Independence Day. Because ain't nobody free.
Literally. But we hope that everybody has been doing well. How have you been couple of weeks?
I've been okay. I feel like I was doing great, and then all of a sudden I wasn't.
Really?
But I'm good again.
Okay.
Because bad bitches don't let nothing get them down.
Hey.
So, you know, we didn't really record because of me. I was traveling. I packed a whole summer into 1 week.
You really did.
Yeah, and I had a fab time. And then I got back, and my car started having problems. And all of a sudden, I had no AC. No AC in your car in the summer.
In Miami?
In Miami is like a really trying situation. It really builds character. I thought...
It humbles you?
It really humbles you. I thought I was going to cry on some days home from work because it was just so hot. But, you know, we're here.
I don't mean to be laughing at you, but you almost cried?
Adriana, I was on the side of the road boiling.
No, that was one thing. But like, okay.
It's just so uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable.
When you have to drive for a long period of time in the heat.
Oh my God.
And you're just sweating and you're just gross. It's not fun.
That is not fun. You're right.
Yeah.
That's just funny to see, to hear.
Thank like, God it wouldn't happen in the morning. It would only happen in the afternoon. But yeah, I've been having really bad car problems. But now I'm finally getting it fixed. And then I got new hair, so I feel good now too. But my quote this week comes from New Girl. And it reads, I'll take the strongest drink you have and also a wine spritzer on the side in case I don't like it. And that is the vibe, because it's like, oh, this shit is hard. But also keep it cute, keep it fun, keep it summer.
Oh my gosh. So I have been good. I was burnt out. Yeah. I realized the last couple months of work are the busiest time of the year for me. And I decided to also start school at the exact same time. So just balancing both of those have just worn me out. Yeah. I was working my ass off. Working my ass off. And the month of June, I literally was like, when I finished my classes, I was just like, I can't even, I was supposed to like take my test at the end of the month. I was just like, I can't do it. Like I need 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took off the end of the month. I basically have just been laying around and watching TV and doing nothing just to just decompress a little bit, and I'm feeling better. And so like now I can like take the month, study for my test that I need to take for my certification, and then move on.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get burned out. You really just have to sit and do nothing,
literally.
And it gives you anxiety because you feel like you should be doing something, but you just really have to relax.
I was like, oh my God, like I need to study. But then I was just like, you know. And then my boss has been out of town, so that's been great. So I even had, like, the space to be doing something and being productive, but I couldn't. I just, like, literally had to sit there and just stare.
Yeah. That's how it be.
So now that we are back, my quote is from Big Little Lies and Meryl Streep's character. She goes, I can't complain. Well, actually, I can. And I just feel like this last couple months have been like tough and they were hard. And I wouldn't say that I'm like unhappy or like sad or anything. I've just been like blasé. You know, there's like a million things I could complain about, but also there's nothing really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed time to reset, which has been good. So I've taken that. And sometimes you just need to just allow yourself to decompress so you can come back again.
Lovely.
You know?
Yeah.
But now I can put the pedal to the metal, keep it going, and keep it moving.
And get into it.
I've been watching a lot of TV. Okay. I don't know if anybody has watched this show before, but it's called The Last Ship. It used to be on TNT. It was on for years. They have 5 seasons. It's on Hulu. Me and my mom have been watching that, and we were just obsessed. She watched it when it was on TV, and I kind of watched it on and off with her back then. And so I was a little bit familiar, but I didn't watch the whole thing in its entirety. But, like, now we're just, like, in the last ship of your universe. You know, it's about a pandemic and what happens. Not a
pandemic.
Yes, it spreads across the world. Millions of people, but millions and millions of people die. The governments collapse. You know, there's all this conflict for different reasons. They're coming up with a vaccine. You know, it was just very reminiscent of 2020. And it was just very good. And there's a lot of action. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of eye candy. The characters are great. We really enjoyed it. So
nice.
I would say check that out. If you're just looking for something that's like fun and action packed and got some interesting characters, they've got this one guy. He's Australian that is so fucking sexy. Like, they have him doing all the combat because he's like a trained fighter. Oh my God, he is so fucking hot. Like, just the eye candy is crazy. Love it. So I've been loving that.
Love that. And you've been watching Love Island, but like the old one.
Oh my God. Seasons? So me and our other sister, Marcy, we have been watching season 7, which was last season. And now we're on season 6 because we had skipped that one before we get into season 8 that's currently on TV. But season 7 was so good. Like, we loved it. We just love Love Island, and now we're in season 6 and it's just, again, so good. This season 6, they filmed it in South Africa, which was different. They're usually in Spain. So it's like a different house, different kind of vibe. Even the way that they're like doing like the recouplings and stuff are a little different. Like, I don't know what's happening in the season, but we're like, it's a little off, but it's also good. But it's very interesting. So, you know, we love Love Island here. And so I'm enjoying that. And then once season 8 is done and I can like binge it in once, then I'll start watching.
Yeah. The British version of Love Island is good. I love British people. I think they're so funny and just they have so much more personality than American people.
He's a bit me. Like, yeah. I'm looking for someone that's a bit me. I just like, I love the little sayings. Like, they're just so cute.
They're so cute. Yeah. But I can't get into it. You guys know how I feel about like the 10 million episodes that it has. But yeah, I haven't really been watching TV lately besides P-Valley, which we already talked about, and we'll do a follow-up episode soon.
Oh, we're not going to talk about it today?
Oh, we're not?
I watched.
You caught up?
I caught up.
Oh, we can have a chat about P-Valley then. Okay. But
what else?
I also watched Elvis. Incredible, incredible movie. It was perfect, okay?
I can't wait to see
it. So after I watched it, I went down into a little Elvis spiral doing research because the movie talks about a lot of the history that I did not know about. And I feel like I don't want to spoil the movie, but it's definitely a good watch and a different type of story that I was not expecting.
Really?
Yeah. Austin Butler did an amazing job. I didn't realize, because I watched an interview of him afterwards talking about the movie, I didn't realize his voice was so deep. He sounds like actual Elvis with a raspy, deep voice.
Well, he changed his voice. He like created like the accent.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of his like post-movie, he's still doing the accent.
He's not really doing the accent though, because like if you watch his old interviews and then you listen to now, he's gotten older, so his voice is a little deeper. Or maybe that was just like the, you know, the voice changing going through the movie. But like, he's always had a deep, raspy voice.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that's a part of why they picked him. But in any case, he did a great job. He sings in the movie. And I didn't realize.
Like, actually sings?
He sings, yeah. Wow. And I didn't realize he could sing. Mind you, it's the Elvis singing like, no, 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 no. Yeah. So like, that's kind of easy for men to do.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he did a really good job. And wow. In the interview that I watched of him, he said that now he feels like he can breathe and he has not slept well for the past 2 years because he was so scared and nervous that he was gonna mess it up.
Wow.
And now he can finally rest.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that insane? I was like, wow, the lengths that these actors will go to put on a show is crazy. He was dedicated to that role. And he said that after Elvis's wife saw it.
Uh-huh.
What's her name?
Priscilla.
Priscilla. After Priscilla saw it and she loved it and she said that he did a good job, he was like, now I can breathe.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know there's been so much criticism because, like, obviously Elvis is like a controversial figure
mm-hmm.
for many different reasons, but like, he's still a legend.
The movie discusses that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think this is that much of a spoiler, but like, I didn't know this before seeing the movie. Elvis grew up, but his dad went to jail
mm-hmm.
and his mom and him lived in a town that now would be considered like the projects mm-hmm. and it was a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
And his musical influences were from the black gospel churches mm-hmm. and the jazz that he heard on the streets.
Yeah.
And that was just his musical influence when he was young. And back then, I'm pretty sure the rules for recording other people's songs were different.
Mm-hmm.
So he would hear songs and then he would record them.
Yeah.
And he was friends with B.B. King back mm-hmm. then, who would tell him, yeah, like, I say you go for it. This is your music too. Like, mm-hmm. You grew up with this sound. This is who you are. And also, like, these people, they're not going to make half as much money as you because of it. So you putting this music out there is a good thing.
Right.
So that's why, like, the movie touched on that, and I feel like people have kind of lost that and they just think like, oh, Elvis stole from mm-hmm. the black community, when yeah. it's like, no, he was co-signed to do that.
Right. And also like the music industry was very different, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, like, he can't help that he was white.
Yeah.
You know, like, at the end of the day, like, it's not his fault that society would prioritize his music over the original creators mm-hmm. of some of the songs that he did. So yeah. It's like, that's just always one of those things. It's like, you have to put historical context to it. It's not straight up theft.
Yeah.
Especially if he did attribute to it, and we don't really know, like, everything that he said and did not say. And
mm-hmm. And also, he was penalized for it. So when he started becoming popular, the TV stations didn't want to play him. And they right. didn't want to put him on the air because it was vulgar. And right. who's this white guy, you know, corrupting the children? Uh-huh. They're going to make people, you know, integrate. Because that was before integration.
Right.
And they were like, no, we don't want this. So, like, if he wanted to make more money and he didn't want to, you know, caused so much controversy, he would have done other types of music, but that was just his sound. That's the type of music he made. That's who he was.
Right.
So I feel like that's also a big part of it. It's like, he wasn't doing... Now, I feel like when you steal from a black artist, it's because you know that's going to make you more popular.
Right.
But back then, it was like...
It wasn't.
That wasn't
the case.
That was holding him back.
Right. I love Elvis. Like, our mom is a really big Elvis fan, and so I grew up on a lot of Elvis, and I love his movies. Like, his old movies are so good. If you ever just want to watch a really good old movie, his movie The Clam Bake, one of my favorite old movies ever. It is so good. He plays like an oil tycoon
yeah.
that goes on vacation and like falls in love with this girl and pretends to be poor. And they like fall in love, and she was kind of like a gold digger, but she like allowed herself to fall in love with this like simple guy. And
it turned out that he was rich.
He was rich. They're like driving away after they get married. And
that's the famous scene of yes, him in the car.
Yes. And she's like, well, where are we going to go now? And he's like, well, we can go anywhere we want. He's like, this is all of mine. And she's like, what do you mean? He was like, I own all of these oil refineries. And she passes out. And then the movie ends. And it's just like the cutest. It's just such a cute movie. The music and the soundtrack to that movie is so good. Like, mm-hmm. I love Elvis, so I'm very excited to see it. I just need to make the time to go.
It's really good, yeah. And another note on music, we know that Baz Luhrmann is really into, like, he's an artist. He wants the film to look good. He wants the content to be good.
He's one of my favorite directors.
He has his hand in all aspects of the film, and the soundtrack for this movie is incredible.
Yeah.
I downloaded the whole thing because the songs, the remixes, like, Elvis Trap Remix... is just, it blew my mind. I was like, I didn't know I needed this in my life, but I need it.
Yes. His, every movie he does, like, the soundtracks are amazing. Like, I still listen to the Great Gatsby soundtrack to this day, like, same. All the time. Like, that's one of my favorite movies. That soundtrack is so good.
So, so good.
Ugh, love his movies.
Yeah, he did what he needed to do.
He really did.
Yeah. And then, like, back to my Elvis rabbit hole, I started watching actual Elvis performances. Mm. He's so charismatic. He was such so a charismatic.
Such
he
a
was sexy. I was like, Elvis. The way that he would look at people in the crowd while he was singing to them, I was like,
yeah, he's adorable.
They don't make him like you.
They really don't.
You were special.
He was.
Yeah.
And that's why he's a legend. So it's like, Give respect where it's due.
Yeah, he was a true performer. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful movie.
Love it. Okay, gotta watch. So let's get into the movie that we're actually speaking about this week.
Do you want to start with P-Valley?
Okay, let's talk about P-Valley. I actually took notes because I was just watching it late last night. So episode 2, 3, and 4 are out. We're halfway through the season. And
this season is better than the first one.
The storyline? Yes. I think so. Completely. I really like where they've taken it. I do think, like, they really sat in quarantine and thought of ways to really make the show better.
Yeah.
The sequences that they're doing in the strip club,
amazing.
Are everything. The way they are filming these pole scenes they're blowing my mind. Like, the photography, the cinematography, like, all of that is just, it's so well done. The lighting.
Everything.
Chef's kiss.
For real. I loved what they did in season one, the stylistic approach that they took. And this season, they took it up a notch.
Yeah.
They're giving us what they need to give. It's beautiful. And the new strippers are so pretty and
beautiful.
Funny. I'm just like, this is great.
Like the blue hair girl.
Oh my gosh, Whisper.
Whisper.
She's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, so cute. And I like that she's like kind of like mystical and spooky.
Yeah, I like it too.
You know, she just feels things, she knows things. Like I like the witchy vibes that she's giving me.
Mm-hmm.
What's Roulette? I like her story. Mm-hmm. I like that character. She's very layered. She's definitely out there. Like, she's still in front.
She is hooking and crooking.
Yeah. And she is, you know, for the money, for the right price, like, she's willing to do everything and anything, which is very true for a lot of strippers. There are a lot of girls in the club that are willing to make that extra bag and go the extra mile and not just take off their clothes, but to do, like, to perform sexual acts. So I like that element is there because it isn't realistic to have a strip club that doesn't do that at all. Like,
girl is doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but of course, the way they're approaching it, which I think is the right way, is no, you should not be doing that. That's one of Uncle Clifford's rules.
Right.
We are good, clean Christian strippers.
Right. But I do like the element that that's bringing in. It does feel more grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this all during quarantine, which I thought was, I really kind of hated in the first episode.
I love it.
But to see the different dynamics of the protests, the killing of another Black person by police, the ways in which that impacts the Black community on an individual level and on a large scale, what happens to the cities when people start to protest and to fight back. Like, I do love to see all those different kinds of layers, all those little stories. Like, we heard about Roulette's brother and his murder. And, you know, that just, it's just so relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, the pandemic transformed sex work. So I love the fact that they added that in here because it's a completely different dynamic. The drive-through strip club, yeah. The OnlyFans. Like, it's just sex work is different now. So it made sense to showcase that.
Yes. And also, like, I love that when the strip club opened, like, everybody's supposed to be in masks.
And then they have the health code violation, yes. And the strip club shut down again.
Which was so real because in Miami, like, the city of Miami couldn't, had a curfew for a very long time, but Broward County, they were open. So the only places you could go at the end of 2020 into the early 2021 was the strip club. And I was one of those people that was up in the strip club, no mask on, catching COVID, you know? And it was all very like, you know, you have to be distant, but not. And it was like a very weird place for both the businesses and the people that were going. And I just like to see seeing that play out because it was something I feel like I lived in, like truly lived in, mm-hmm. Which was interesting. I like that. I thought that it's interesting to see how the mayoral race is shaping out to be. Mm-hmm. Andre's now running.
I loved that.
Pastor Patrice is running. Like, there's a lot of elements going on, and I don't know how many episodes this season is going to have, but if it's only 8, like the last season, then we're already halfway through and I'm like, I need more. Like, I already need more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the story is shaping up really nicely. What do you think of Mercedes and Coach and Coach's wife?
I think that is so interesting.
Crazy.
I mean, Coach is hot. Like, Coach is the kind of sugar daddy you hope you can bag.
Yes.
Like, that to me is not even bad. Like, I would give me that deal.
Like, sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. He's in shape. He's good looking. He's bald.
Your type.
He's literally my type. You know, he's athletic. I love an ex-athlete. Like, he's literally my type. So I was just like, I love this for Mercedes.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that we have the wife in on it and they have more of a connection. It even seems that her and Coach do because it's authentic. It's genuine. There's like real kind of camaraderie between women there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to see where they've taken the sex scenes this season are interesting.
They turned it up this season. It's way more raunchy.
We're seeing a lot of dick this season.
Yep. We're like, seeing a lot more sex, a lot more nudity.
Yeah. I don't like to see penis on screen.
Personally, me neither. And I think the sex scenes, like, they're not too much, but they're borderline.
I actually, you know what? When you think about it, like, they're not any worse than Euphoria.
Yeah.
What people are up in arms about, like, if you are not on Twitter, this week everyone's just like, the gay sex scenes. Like, what's going on?
I like the fact that they're showing both.
So do I. I like that. I actually like that we haven't even really seen straight sex. Like, just give us something different. Because at the end of the day, if you really have a problem with nudity and sexual content, you should have a problem with it coming from any spectrum of the sexual scale.
Yeah, don't just sexualize women, sexualize everybody.
And don't only think that it's appropriate to see heterosexual couples. Like, gay couples are the same. It's all sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think it's any more raunchy than anything we've seen straight couples do on screen.
Of course, but I just feel like in season one, like, you only really saw nudity in the club, and now we're seeing everybody hook up, and I'm just like, oh, this is different, but, you know?
Yeah. I think they've just taken it up another notch, because even Roulette in that final performance, the night that she does the coke, how she takes off her top on the stage, and Uncle Clifford is freaking out.
Yeah, because they're not supposed to take off their tops while they're on the stage. That's for the private dances.
Yes. So I just think they're pushing the envelope, and it is a little weird, like, to be in a strip club and for them to have on all of their clothes. Like, it just, that's not really a thing in strip clubs anymore.
We're just used to that, though, because in Miami, you can get fully naked on the pool.
Yeah, like,
in other places, you realize that when you're on the stage, you can't be naked. That's like a big thing.
I don't know. That to me is just like so weird, because the strip clubs here, it's like, hi.
No, but
pussy.
No, but like when you talk to strippers, and like, I know this because, you know, I love to watch stripper vlogs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when the girls come to Miami, they're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so scared. Like, the seasoned strippers, because they, in other places, they are not naked on the stage. Maybe you're topless, maybe. Mm. But, like, Houston, that's not a thing. You only get naked in the private dances, and even then, you don't take off your bottom. A lot of strip clubs, you never take off your bottom. If you go to Vegas, every strip club, they're not naked. Only some of them are.
Yeah, only some of them. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just so desensitized. It's like...
No, in Miami, everybody's naked.
Fully naked.
Yeah, but that's not a thing other places.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just so weird. What else? There was something else specifically I wanted to talk about. Oh, we have to talk about...
the voodoo?
Oh, I want to get to that, but no. But I want to talk about Andre's wife.
Cheating girl, on him.
You had the nerve. You had the nerve to be like, where's your mask, Andre, when you just had someone else's dick in your mouth? Like, girl, what? Like,
that was really sick.
That was sick. I would have smacked a hoe.
Like, he threw the vase against the wall.
I would have been like, you're out of your goddamn mind. Like, you're out of your mind. Yeah. She was tripping. How do you feel about him running for mayor? Like, he's gonna have to live in Chuckalisa. Like, his marriage is over.
Well, it was already over.
Yeah, but, like, now it's, like, there's no reconciliation to be had.
Listen, I don't even feel bad for Andre, because season one, he was cheating. So you cheat, you get cheated on, and then you break up. They both did some cheating.
They both did some cheating.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Andre is an asshole.
I think there's something about him that I just have never liked.
He's only out for himself. He thinks that he's the shit. And once he gets a little bit of power, he's going to be like, oh, I'm so... You know who he is? He's one of those guys that's only out for themselves, but thinks they're a good guy.
He pretends to be a good guy.
Pretends to be a good guy when he knows that he's only looking out for himself.
Yeah.
And he just wants power.
Yeah. And he's very high and mighty about it.
Yes. Very high and mighty. Oh, I'm the good guy. I'm the one who's going to do what's right.
Right.
When it's like... No, you just want people to look up to you and, like, kind of worship you in a sense.
Right. And I feel like he feels like he has failed or is inadequate in many ways. And people around him he feels like people have coddled him in different ways. And that makes him want to just be like, no, I'm the shit too. And I feel like that's why he's so kind of, like, thirsty for power in any way that he can get it. Because he hasn't really, like, established anything of his own.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's interesting. But let's talk about the voodoo, because the pink is haunted and everybody be doing some shit.
The pink is fully haunted, which I kind of like how they added that in. I think it's, like, a funny little addition to the show. There's so much going on, which I think I like. It's
very symbolic of, like, where they are. Like, the deep south, there's heavy voodoo roots, small towns. Like, that's just very prevalent.
Yeah.
In that kind of culture. Mm-hmm. So I totally get it. I didn't really expect Diamond to be like Mr.
Oh, he's a root worker.
Right.
Like, so I only learned
fully started that out.
So I only learned that from the Twitter discussions. They were like, oh, it's not even voodoo, it's hoodoo. Which I don't know if that stands for hood voodoo or if it's
it's a different type. It's a different type.
So he's a root worker, and he, you know, a little... when that was happening, I was like, what the hell is this? I knew it was going to happen because of Twitter, but to actually see it, I was like, oh!
Yeah, I was like, what is happening here?
That shit was crazy.
I don't like... things about ghosts and voodoo specifically. I just think it's too, I don't know, I'm too in tune with that kind of stuff, so it kind of scares me. Like, I was like, oh no, it's spooky vibes. I'm alone in bed.
I didn't get scared, but I liked that. I just like it when a show shocks you. And I feel like very rarely do I get shocked by a show, and this got me like, so I was happy.
Yeah, it was just very different. And you saw, like, did you see that scene when Autumn is in the pink at night, and you saw, like, the ghosts on the camera?
Yes.
Like, it's just, it's a
lot.
That
was a little scary.
That was scary.
Yeah.
And how Diamond can, like, see the ghost in the floor. I was just like, ooh, I'm not, I don't love all of this.
But that is a part of the culture that they're in.
Yeah.
So it makes sense too.
The accuracy of this show is just, it's so on the nose.
Yeah.
Like, even my favorite part, I think it was in episode 4, maybe episode 3, how they had the girls from the Bella Noche skit. Have you ever, the
oh, Bella Noche!
You know those are the actual two girls.
They got them?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were like, well, if you can't go to the pink or whatever, where can you go?
Where can you go? They did do that.
I was dying. Like, I literally died. That is one of my favorite videos to come on the internet ever.
I love that video.
If you can't go to Bella Noche, where the hell could you go? Literally, they got the girls. I was dying. I was just like, this show is like, they, sometimes I feel like.
They overdo it.
They overdo it. And then sometimes I'm like, wow, they really do have their finger, like, on the perfect pulse.
Yeah. I just love it because you don't see that on TV. You don't see that on screen.
You really don't.
And it's really nice to see it on screen.
I feel like there's a lot. I don't know. Maybe I just don't watch enough shows that are, like, being created by Black people. But, like, I just feel like when people try to do, like, Twitter lingo and like trending topics on TV, it just like it always misses the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do too, but in other times I feel like they get it right.
Honestly, it's not even that they miss the mark. I see it as camp. I think it's supposed to be ridiculous. I think it's supposed to be satirical. That's how I see it. And even though, like, sometimes you're like, oh, this is so cringe, I think it's hilarious because it's supposed to be ridiculous. That's maybe the point of camp.
Yeah. I love to see Uncle Clifford on the pole.
Yes.
Like, that scene, that I was good. Like, that was so great. I love that they also had, like, Big Frida. They had a cameo from her introducing Mississippi. Oh, Mississippi. Let's get into her. She's on tour with Lil Murda.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Derek just make me so deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a pit in my stomach every time they come on screen together.
Mm-hmm.
I like that she was able to go on tour. She was able to finesse that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's not getting hired anywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm scared for her to go back home. Like,
he's gonna drape her up.
He's scary.
He will kill her.
You think that's how the character's gonna end?
I don't think she's gonna die, but I think he's gonna try to kill her.
Oh my god. I'm worried. Lil Murda, I think, is just the cutest.
I love that character.
Me too.
Like, love him. He deserves everything.
Like, I like that, like, him and Krishan were, like, talking about, like, the postcards that he's sending Uncle Clifford.
I love how Uncle Clifford keeps them all.
Me too. And, like, and then the protest, he finally reached back out. Like, I just love just the dynamics there. And I love that he is in some ways in the closet and in other ways not.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know who acknowledges that and who doesn't.
Well, they kind of touched on it. There were rumors that he wasn't really, you know, straight.
Right.
But then you always see him with Keyshawn, and Keyshawn puts on a show, like, kissing him and stuff. So yeah, it's kind of just like, that helps him. But I can only imagine just, like, being in gangster rap and hard rap and being gay. Like, mm-hmm. that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he kind of has to be in the closet.
Yeah. I just think the dynamics there are very interesting. His friend that got out of jail, he's going through a lot. Obviously, the transition to come out of prison is incredibly taxing. And then to be at such a heightened state of just society and life, and that's what you're coming back to, is also difficult. And then, you know, he's like, damn, like, I ain't never got a postcard from you. And, like, we go way, way back.
Yeah.
Those scenes I thought were just, like, so cute. Like, I love when they were sitting on the steps and they were, like, sharing the blunt and just talking about old times. Like, I was just like, this is how men bond.
This is how men bond. That's hilarious.
I was like, this is the picture of male friendship. Like, we're gonna sit somewhere quietly, share a blunt, have a drink, and just, like, talk about the good times. And, like, there's never really, like, an acknowledgement of, like, the feelings or the love there.
But you, like, know it's there.
You know it's there. So I thought that was just, like, cute to see.
Yeah, that was really nice. I liked it.
Yeah. So the season is shaping out really well.
Love it so far.
Love it. And that's it for P-Valley, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into the last thing that we're going to talk about today. And that is...
Yes. Everything, everywhere, all the time.
Is it all the time or all at once?
I feel like it's all...
Whatever it's called, know. The movie.
Let's see, the movie. Everything Everywhere. All at once.
All at You're once. Right. And who's the main lady's name? I can't remember her name
right now. The mom from Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes, but what's her actual name?
Do, do, do.
So bad with names.
Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh. Duh. Mm-hmm. Okay, starring Michelle Yeoh. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good movie. If so you have good. Not seen this, you have to. It really is the movie of the year, I think. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got comedy. It's got action. It's got fighting. It's got love. It's got family. It is a drama. It is action. It is a story about just the human experience mm-hmm. and life.
And it's kind of sci-fi, and it's also a little bit satirical.
Yes.
It's an A24 movie, so that's how you know that it's going to be weird. But I feel like this A24 movie is different in the sense that, like, the meaning, the true meaning behind the movie is very explicit. Mm. I feel like other times you watch an A24 movie, and then you have to Google afterwards, what the fuck did that mean?
What other movies have they done?
Just weird shit, let me tell you.
Okay, so this is about a woman who is living life and she feels unfulfilled and in...
Hereditary, The Lighthouse, Uncut Gems, Midsommar, The Green Knight, Ex Machina, which was good.
I loved Ex Machina.
Moonlight, It Comes at Night, Lady Bird, The Got Witch.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
If you have not seen Ex Machina... You have to go watch that movie. That is one of the best sci-fi movies. Oh, I love that movie.
The Spectacular Now, one of my favorite movies.
Okay, so she is just an unfulfilled mother, business owner, and she's overworked, underappreciated in many ways, and kind of burnt out. And she, I don't think she has the time or the space or the ability to even assess her life and what it means and what's happening in it. She's just like in the rat race that is life mm-hmm. and she's just going.
Yeah. And also, I feel like they did a good job of showcasing the Asian community, the older Asian mentality mm-hmm. of kind of being hard, the tough love, the this is life, we're surviving, I don't have time to think about anything else. Mm-hmm. And then you see that dynamic and how it hurts the relationship between her and her daughter. Her daughter is really sensitive. She needs that love from her mom. But because she's like in that old school Asian mentality mm-hmm. she can't give it to her.
And also you see that in her relationship with her father
mm-hmm.
I really like the plays of the generations that were going on and yeah. just the differences in how each generation looks at life
mm-hmm.
and what that means and how you define yourself within that. I love a family drama.
Yes.
And just the workings of that. And so you've got this like sci-fi element because they are able to jump through the different metaverses.
Dimensions
of what someone's life could be. So there's a million choices that you make and each choice leads you down a different path. And you have all these different versions of you out there living the lives that
could
have been, basically. And so she is really trying to save all the universes by defeating this evil overlord
yeah.
person, mm-hmm. which ends up being her daughter.
Yeah, because she has the same character flaw in every universe, which is the sense that she cannot really love. She doesn't mm-hmm. allow herself to be vulnerable and love the people who are in her life. So in the universe where the evil emerges, it's a universe that they're aware of interdimensional travel mm-hmm. and they practice it. And she pushes her daughter to the point that her mind splits and she is able to travel within the interdimensions without anything else, just because of the fact that, like, her mind split and she becomes evil. Yeah. And she becomes evil because she sees herself in every universe. Yeah. And she realizes that nothing really matters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what choices you make, because when you're able to see it all, you realize that it's all pointless.
Yeah. And that's just a great commentary on life and choices in general. And I always say, like, in my life, like, it really doesn't matter what you choose. Just choose something and live with it. Like, just go full steam ahead once you've made the choice. Don't belabor it and don't think the what if and the but it could have and shoulda woulda. It's like the choices don't exist because you didn't choose them.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that could have happened is never, it doesn't matter because it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was an interesting concept in the movie.
And
the way in which people internalize that, I think, is very interesting. Like, I was very annoyed with the daughter in the present form, because I just felt like, buck up already. Like, this is life. Like, yeah, it's gonna be hard. Yes, your parents have expectations of you, and maybe you're not everything that they expected you to be. But, like, just be the best version of who you actually are and live with that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't belabor the fact that you don't, like, belabor who you are for somebody else's idea of what you could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you don't want to follow what your parents' expectations are of you, just don't fucking do it. Like,
yeah.
Don't sit around, make yourself miserable over the fact that you don't want to live that life. Just don't live that life. But do it with full intention, full autonomy, and full, like, ownership that you are your own person, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the current, like, in the main storyline, I was just, like, annoyed with the daughter, because I was just like, girl, grow up.
Yeah, agreed.
But that's just how I look at life. Like, I feel like in that sense, at some point you've got to be able to pull yourself out of the hole of disappointment, of sadness, of anxiety, of depression to live life. Like, you can't, it's never going to get better if you don't actually participate in it. You're never going to get strong if you don't actually build the muscle of resilience to be able to keep going. Like, people miss that so often and they just swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lose. Like, you've lost time. You've lost the ability. You've lost the options that are afforded to you.
Yeah. There's a quote. I don't remember who said it, but it goes something along the lines of, everybody lives two lives. Their, you know, current life, and then the life when they realize that this is the only one that they have.
Mm.
You live differently once you realize and you grasp that concept. Yeah. Of, I gotta make this shit work. I was, you know, given this hand of cards, I gotta play them.
Right.
And that's all I can do.
Right.
But I think the story with the mom was really interested too. And I was really annoyed of her at first. Like, her current self.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the main character, the dimension that she's in, is basically the life where every decision she made was a mistake. And it led her to the worst possible version of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And when she starts to see the other possibilities, which is what she really wants, she regrets every decision she's ever made. She wishes that she could live those other lives. In one life, she's a movie star. Mm-hmm. In other life, you know, she's rich, she's famous, she's, you know, every better version of herself that she could have been. And she wallows in that, and she realizes that she hates her life. But then she looks a little bit closer at those other lives, and she realizes that she's not happy there either.
No.
And I feel like you have to realize that no matter what choice you would have made, you would have been unhappy in some sense, because that's how humans are.
Yeah.
We're always looking for more.
Yeah, we're always looking to what could have been, what should have been, what would have been. Like, it's just such an endless cycle of disappointment that you're setting yourself up mm-hmm. for when you constantly look at your life as something to that's that some you're looking at your current life as something that could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like people start to realize that when they have this dream, this goal, and then they get it and they're like, this did not fulfill me.
Right.
I feel like that it was a play on that concept as well, which I really liked. And she had to learn to love and to be happy with the life that she was given and be thankful for it.
Right. And also, how do you define happiness? How do you seek fulfillment in whatever circumstances that it's going to be? Like, people think like, oh, if I make this much money, if I get this job, if I have this accomplishment, if I drive this car, if I wear these clothes, like, how do you fulfill yourself in all the ways that you can? I feel like in things where we can like buy like clothes and material possessions, those are ways to accessorize your life. There's mm-hmm. a way, it's a way of expression. It's a way of presenting yourself to the world in the most comfortable way that it feels to you. But at the end of the day, clothes are just clothes. It's all just cloth sewn together that you wear. Yeah. You know, that's not a sense of wholeness. That's mm-hmm. not going to be a sense of security. Those things do not provide you warmth at night, friendship, yeah. a shoulder to lean on when something has happened, someone to help you when you're down. And those are all the ways in which you should be defining what is fulfilling and what's, you know, like soul nourishing mm-hmm. Out of life. So yeah. I feel like also, like, I loved her husband.
I love the husband. Ugh.
I think, like, I thought his character was really just emblematic of what it means to fully be yourself mm-hmm. and to fully be comfortable with being yourself. And he kind of, and he was in every dimension.
Yeah.
Like, in his current state, he was still goofy. He was still trying to be playful. He still really loved her. And he was, like, asking her for a divorce because he just wanted to spark the idea that maybe they should work on getting their relationship back to a place that was happy and joyful. And it's not that he wanted to leave her. He just wanted to like give her a kick up the ass to be like, I'm here and I still want you to be here in this with me.
He wanted to be happy. He just wanted to be happy.
You know what? I think more than anything, he just wanted her to fully participate in their life together. Yes. And not just be on the rat race that is work, school, this, that, I think he wanted to actually have someone that's participating in their life, mm-hmm. engaging in the conversation, looking in his eyes when he speaks to him, laughing when he leaves the little eyes around the place. Like, he wanted someone to live yes. back at him.
Mm-hmm. You know what I thought was interesting too? In their main dimension, she thought he was whatless and she thought he was worthless. And I kind of thought he was whatless too. Yeah. But then once you see him at his peak and she realizes he is that person mm-hmm. and he tells her, this part was so sad. In another life, I would have been happy just doing laundry with you. I was like, that's what you have to realize.
Right.
It was beautiful.
It's really is about the simple things. Like, mm-hmm. I always say this about, like, our family. Like, we enjoy each other so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to cry. why am I going to cry? The movie just spoke to me on so many ways. But I do think, like, for me, I've been through something incredibly traumatic where I've had to sit with the decisions that I've made in my life and the ways in which they affect the people that I love. And coming out of that and healing from that, like, I found so much more fulfillment in, like, very simply just being able to be with everyone. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of time together, and so it's like there's never really like a shortage of the time or the space that we have together. But I do, it sounds stupid, but, like, I have the most fun just sitting in the kitchen and talking, like, with the sisters, with our mom, our aunts, like, and that to me is, like, the true meaning of life and happiness. And you shouldn't have to wait for something awful to happen to you to get that
and to appreciate that.
So it's something that I love to see in the film, but it's something that I like live in my life. Like, I always say I'm extremely happy and fulfilled because I have people around me that I love And it's like the families that my friends are that, like, I've had the same friends for like over 25 years. So it's like the people around, the people in your life and the relationships that you have and the things that you give to them and the things that they give to you is really where you get the meaning of life. And like, that's where happiness should really come from, because at the end of it all, it's really not about where you live or what you're doing or where, like, where you're doing it. It's who you're doing it with. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Movie of the year.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was
an amazing movie. I didn't cry watching the movie, but some, like, there are certain aspects of it. You were making
fun of me for crying in the movie, too. There are certain
aspects of it when I think about it. I'm like, it's not that it makes me sad, but it just makes me almost, like, appreciate the fact that I do have such a clear understanding of what the film was trying to say. Mm-hmm. Happy tears, Pisces things.
Yeah, you haven't cried on the pod in a while.
I know, all year. Since we've been back on camera, I haven't cried. Yeah. I did like an ugly Kim face. Lord, Jesus.
No, but I mean, the movie really did elicit that emotion for me. I fully bawled in the movie. I had a good cry.
I took our little sister and she was, and I was like, it's okay, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, love the film. I mean, honestly, if she doesn't get the Oscar for this, like, waste.
Complete waste. No, she has to win. And if she doesn't, they robbed her.
And I think the daughter, the actress that played the daughter, was magnificent. Because her other dimensions were so good. Mm-hmm. Like, she was really amazing. Like, the acting that she did, just the playfulness, the comedy, the timing, like, she was amazing to me. Like, yeah. I hated her in the main dimension, but in all the others, I was, like, obsessed with her.
No, but even still, like, she is an amazing actress.
Yeah.
Her in, like, the main dimension, that end scene when she was like, Mom, I'm tired. I was like, you really did that. You really did what you needed to do.
Right. And that end scene, she was just like, I want to give up. And so that is like a example of just wanting to commit suicide.
Yeah. And the people say that, like, the bagel represented suicide, just like, you know, wanting just to kill herself.
Yeah. I like that the mother was just like, you can't, like, this is life. Like, you have to keep going. You have to, like, dig deep and just find something to keep you moving.
Yeah.
And that is what everybody needs to do. Like, in tough times and hard times and sad times, even in happy times, like, you have to know that it's nothing lasts forever. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is that you're currently going through, it's just for a season. Like, there is such thing as, like, things being cyclical.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, everything that could happen to someone is probably going to happen to you at some point. So don't think that any circumstance, whether you're seeing it in someone else's life or, like, in fiction or whatever, is something that you're not going to emotion. Like, I think life brings us through all different waves of emotions and feelings and experiences, because that's what living is. Mm-hmm. And if you opt out of that early, you don't get that moment. You don't get those moments of the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs. Mm-hmm. And you don't really figure out, like, oh, this is just all going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that was also one of the points of the movie, is that once you realize that nothing matters, you're never going to be happy searching for that one thing, there's two ways for you to deal with it. You can give up, give into that darkness, give into that bagel, or you can choose to live and make the best of it. Right. And that's just a beautiful message.
It is. Film of the year. Loved it, loved it. Can't recommend it enough if you haven't seen it. Go see it in the theater. I think it's like a theater experience.
I watched it on TV and I had a great time.
Okay.
Yeah. But then again, I like watching things on my phone too. So I'm like not picky.
You really are. Okay. So yeah, that's the TV. All right, guys. It is time for tea. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
There's a couple things happening.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep it short though, because that was a really long like TV session.
Yeah, we had to catch up on all the good shows, good movies. So R. Kelly has finally been sentenced. He has been sentenced to 30 years in prison for racketeering and sex trafficking. And they've also placed him on suicide watch. That's crazy. 30 years.
I don't know what the sentencing is for sex trafficking because, like, in other sentencing news, Ghislaine Maxwell, mm-hmm. Epstein's associate, she got 20 years in prison and then 5 years supervised release. So I guess that's, like, a normal sentencing, but I just feel like it should be more.
For Ghislaine.
For both of them. I'm surprised you don't get, like, more for that.
I'm surprised, too. Like, what do you get life in prison for?
Just murder? I guess just murder. But people are serving life in prison for drugs, too. So I feel like sex trafficking is worse than drugs. Why don't people get life for sex trafficking?
Right.
In my mind.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right?
That's very weird.
Yeah, people are serving life sentences for drugs. For drug charges.
Yeah, that's very weird. Like, I feel like Ghislaine should definitely have gotten more, but my problem with the Ghislaine sentencing is who was she trafficking these young girls to? Are we never going to hear a name? Is anyone going to go to jail for that? Like, I just, the cover up there is so egregious to me. It pisses me off to think about it.
And also, like, I don't want to compare sex trafficking to sex trafficking, but, like, wasn't what Ghislaine did worse?
Than R. Kelly?
I would think so.
I mean, it's all bad. Young girls being...
But, like, just the sheer amount of people who were trafficked.
And, like, the network and...
Yeah.
Like, the scale of what Ghislaine was into.
Yeah, I think Ghislaine was, like, 20 girls and then R. Kelly, like, bad, you know?
No, but, like, Ghislaine was with Epstein for years and years and years. Like, yeah. You cannot tell me that she is not... I mean, there's hundreds of women out there that have been to the island, to his homes. Like, I listened to a podcast interview with one of the defendants that actually came forward.
Virginia?
I don't know. It was one of, like, the anonymous ones.
Oh, okay.
And, like, just to hear that she's, like, at 14 years old, her parents let her go to some random place in Montana after meeting Epstein once. And her parents hadn't even met him. Like, only she met him. And she was at this house with, like, 40 other girls.
40?
Yes.
Underage girls.
Underage girls.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, that's the thing. I feel like Ghislaine, she should have gotten more in comparison to R. Kelly. So, that also kind of leads me to believe that there was a backdoor deal. Yeah, she pleaded not guilty, whatever. But, like, she spoke, and it's just not out.
That's really sickening because those names need to be public.
Yeah.
Those trials need to happen. Those people need to go to jail.
Absolutely.
And Epstein did not kill himself.
There you have it.
I will never believe that.
Yeah. No, completely agreed. So there's that. And then I guess some other, like, kind of sad news. Travis Barker has been hospitalized for pancreatitis, which is scary. That's really serious. Mm-hmm. So, you know, prayers to him and Courtney. I hope that he's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Pancreatitis. That's
your pancreas.
What?
I think your pancreas cleans your blood.
Okay.
Or, like, regulates stuff.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I saw the paparazzi shots of him in the ambulance, and which I thought was very weird, but to hear that he's dealing with some health issues, like, anything can happen at any time. Like, we're living in crazy times, and, like, at any moment, shit goes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really sad.
Really sad.
And I think, I don't want to, like, you know, put this on him, I don't know, but I think, like, pancreatitis, that happens when you drink a lot. So it's possible that, like, maybe when he was younger, you know, like, the rock star lifestyle, it, like, has affected him now. I know now, like, him and Courtney are pretty healthy and, Isn't he, like, they don't do drugs.
No, but wasn't he a drug addict before?
He was a drug addict, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of drug addicts, they end up having pancreas problems, like, pancreas and liver.
I feel like we talked about this, but he was, like, hooked on pills after the accident.
You're right. Yeah, he was a drug addict. I couldn't exactly remember, so I didn't want to just, like, put that on him if he wasn't.
I remember that. Really sad. Yeah. But hopefully he heals up and he's doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, in country music news, my boy Luke Combs, his wife gave birth last week to a little boy, Tex Lawrence Combs.
I love that name. Right? That's so cute.
Tex. Like, I love that.
That's so freaking cute.
So cute. So congratulations to them. Also, congratulations to Luke. This is going into our next story, but we are living in a beautiful music era.
Yes.
He dropped his album last week, and baby, it's like it's been Nashville in this house all week.
Yeah.
Like, I am just obsessed with his new album. If you don't listen to country music, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all, Luke Combs is a really great person to get into it with. His music is so good, such quality, such great storytelling. His voice is amazing. This new album is so good. Favorite songs on the album are Call Me, Tomorrow Me, Going, Going, Gone. Oh, there's one more song that I'm loving. Ain't Dead Yet, or like, whatever it's called. Ain't something.
Yeah, the whole album is great. It was Nashville in the office, too.
It's amazing. Ain't Far From It. That's what I love. So it's so good. Such a good album. I'm just like, I'm loving the country music right now.
Yeah.
But also, Drake dropped an album like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and so did Beyonce.
And Beyonce dropped her new single because she's got an album coming out next month. Do you like the Beyonce song?
Yeah, I like it.
I like it too. Mm-hmm. I heard it for the first time in the car yesterday, and I need to hear it in a club. Like, it's very much giving club vibes.
Yeah.
I love the sample. It's like a 90s song.
Mm-hmm.
If she's giving us disco dancing music, like, I'm so here for it.
I feel like everyone's giving us disco dancing music. Like, look at Drake's album.
I know. Drake's album is all house inspired.
Yeah, straight Ibiza pool party.
Straight Ibiza pool party. Yeah. It's very I'm on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love Drake's album.
Yeah, it's really good.
Texco Green. Currents.
Massive. Yeah.
I love it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Love Drake's album so much. And I, like, really hate when people are like, "Wow, Drake." Like, it's okay if you don't like something, but, like, shut up.
People didn't like Drake's last album either. And I thought the last album was amazing.
I didn't love his last album.
You didn't like it? No. With the, pop that shit. Yeah, pop that shit.
Okay, it had good songs, but like,
way too sexy.
I didn't love it.
To the Galleria, open till 10 for you and your friend. That album was amazing. I don't know what people are talking about. No, that album has hits.
No, it's all of his albums are good. I'm just saying, that wasn't my favorite Drake album, the last one. But people I'm were really, loving this one.
People are really talking shit about that album, and I think that album has hella good songs. The song with 21 Savage.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The song on this album with 21 Savage is really good too.
Yeah.
Jimmy Crooks. Yeah, loving the music right now. I feel like we were in a drought and now we just have an abundance of music.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Thank you for the artists that are working.
Yes. And then we have Diddy that won a Lifetime Achievement Award from BET. Really good stuff. I watched the BET Awards because our dad was watching it. And
there is literally nothing our dad loves more than an award show.
Yeah, watches every last one of them.
Every single one.
He was the only reason why we were watching the Oscars and we saw the slap.
Literally.
The only reason. But yeah, the BET Awards were really good. Some great performances. Diddy did a great performance. And it's funny because when he first comes on the stage, everything's dark and his head is down. And I told Daddy, oh, like, he's copying Kanye. Little did I know, him and Kanye are besties. Did you know him and Kanye were friends?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So, like, when he wins the Lifetime Achievement Award, they get Kanye to do a speech congratulating him. And Kanye has been off the grid. We have not heard him speak for a long time. And he comes in the whole black getup, nobody seeing his face. And I didn't know this, but apparently Kanye is going through a rebirth. He claims that he wanted to be legally dead for this year. So he's dead. Kanye's dead. That's why he's yay. And he doesn't want anybody to see his face for all of this year. That's why he's in the getup. Okay. But he says, but when a friend, when Diddy calls you, you answer. And when Diddy calls you, you show up. And I was like, ooh, okay, you better be loyal.
I believe that. Diddy is such a legend. Mm-hmm. He's such a force. He's one of my favorite celebrities. Yes. Like, I just love him. Like, he is also one of those people that just lives life to the fullest. He's having the most fun he can ever have. He's just going. He's just over the top. He's my brand of celebrity.
Yes.
He's always luxurious and just opulent. And I just love that.
Yeah.
He's also Jamaican. So, of course, it's like, you know. Yeah. So, congratulations to him. I thought... Like, I like that they're giving it to him so early. Like, I feel like it is kind of early in his career, even though he's no longer, like, at his peak of, like, producing and managing things and doing the kind of work that he did in, like, the 90s and the 2000s. Mm-hmm. So it is nice to see him get that recognition now.
I feel like it's warranted now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's been a mogul.
Yeah.
He has been achieved what he needed to as far as all of the brands, the alcohol, the music. Like, it makes sense that he got it now. Yeah. You know? Yeah, I just think congratulations to him. Very well deserved. And Kanye did a good speech. He talked about how when he was 17, Diddy had him in the club and he wanted to be Diddy. He wanted to be that guy.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see how Diddy influenced Kanye's career when it came to him getting into fashion and all the other stuff. Diddy has just influenced so many other artists that...
Yeah, I mean, with... What was the clothing line? Sean John. Like, I could see that. Like, Diddy is really, like, he's the OG.
Yes.
Like, we think he's like, this, like, goofy guy. But he's really, he's been in the game for so long, impacting people's career. Even just, like, on, just, like, he has such a good eye for mm-hmm. talent. So, a lot of artists have, like, you know, been through his kind of like camp, even though they weren't necessarily signed to Bad Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Was Usher there for it?
Usher wasn't there. Usher was not there.
He had a huge part in Usher's early career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The kids were there. Diddy dedicated his performance to his late ex partner, Kim. Really nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you see Carisha with the sign?
No.
City girl
Carisha, what sign did she have?
Like, go poppy. You know they're dating, right?
Carisha?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I do remember that. Yes. No, but I didn't see the sign. Yes, Young Miami.
I was like, what's her stage name?
I faintly remember that.
Young Miami and him are dating.
Yes.
They go together. And she was, like, holding up a sign, like, go poppy or
That's
whatever.
That's so cute.
And then, like, he even, like, reposted, like, a screenshot of it and Aww. Was like, oh, like, thanks, baby girl, or something Aww, like that on his Instagram.
So cute.
A couple days after, I was like, okay, Diddy, I see you.
I love the City Girls. I love them. I love JT and Lil Uzi. They were at the BET Awards. That was the first time, one of the first times they've stepped out together as a couple when, like, his face was not covered. Because he also went through a kind of I want to be dead phase where he was, like, on the carpet, no face.
I just think it's so weird. Like, you're a celebrity. Act right.
Yeah, so crazy. But, yeah, they're super cute. And I love how, like, the City Girls have gotten these really other big artists as their partners.
I mean, I just think they both have, like, really great personalities.
And so they're so pretty. They're so cute. I just love them.
They have such great personalities. So it's like, why wouldn't they be able to bag these niggas?
But, you know, people be talking shit about the City Girls. Like, oh, they're so ghetto. They're just, like, Miami trash. Like, no, they're not.
No.
They're dating Diddy and Lil Uzi.
Right.
I love them.
I like that for them. Level up, girls. I'm with you. And, like, who wants to, okay, not that Diddy is, like, the pinnacle of, like, what you should be dating, but it's, like, if you could date, like, an older, established billionaire mogul.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Like, who is she gonna date? Some, like, little basketball player? No. Yeah. Like, no.
They're doing it right.
I think so, too. Good for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it that we have for you this week. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the TVNT podcast. Go ahead and subscribe to us wherever you are listening. You know all the places. Wherever you are listening to us, please leave us a 5-star review. Tell us something nice.
Only if it's nice.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and to give this video a thumbs up. And we will be back next Saturday with another episode to serve the tea on the latest TV and pop culture news. Bye, guys.
Bye.